and grace and peace be yours. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We do begin today a sermon series on the prophets. The next 5 weeks, we'll look at specific Old Testament prophets, the ministry of men like Elijah and Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. But today, just introduction to the prophets. And I want to start before the prophets. I want to start at square one. And here's square one. Is there a God? Now, yes, we say in church, there's a God. Now, this is the thing that modern people will ask, is do you have good and sufficient reason to think that there's a God? Yes. And you can look up articles that talk about the 20 arguments for God or the 6 arguments for God. My new member class has 6, I think 7 now, right? Arguments for God. Do they prove it inarguably? Right? And there's no way to contradict that there's a God. Of course that's not the case. There is a God. There's a good and sufficient reason. I've always personally just liked to say this. Is it simple or complex, human DNA? Simple or complex, DNA? It's complex. Is the human body simple or complex? Is the ecosystem of our world simple or complex? To me, complexity means design. And design means a designer. And designer we call God. That's sufficient. It's not incontrovertibly so, but it's sufficient, I think. But this is what I want us to get. If there were a God, do you think he would want to communicate with us? Yes. So we want to say this. There is a God, and he has spoken. That's the premise. There is a God, and he has spoken. With this parameter, as I said, it's not incontrovertibly true that there is a God. Some people doubt, some people believe. This is the parameter. God has communicated to us, but in a way that he allows people to reject him. Right? If God communicated in such a forceful way that there was no other possible answer, everyone would be a believer, right? When our Lord Jesus Christ comes back again for his second coming, will everybody know that? Yes, that will be too late. As of now, God has spoken, but spoken in a way that he allows himself to be denied. The day that the Lord Jesus returns, I love this quotation from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis says, when the author comes out onto the stage, the play is over. Now in Advent, bearing in mind that we have a God and this God has spoken, remember in Advent we had a sermon series called Visited by Angels, God's Messengers, and we said angels, non-corporeal, that means no body, right, non-corporeal spiritual beings, 1/3 of them fell, 2/3 of them are loyal to God, mostly unseen but sometimes seen. When are the angels seen? In the Old Testament, when Israel's in particular times of danger, and in the New Testament, at Christmas time, the angels singing, glory to God in the highest. That God sent angels with messages to us. Visited by angels the next few weeks. Visited by prophets. Who are the prophets?
Angels.
Angels were last Advent. Prophets now. Prophets are corporeal, right? They have a body. They're not angels, they're men. What is a man? A man is weak and limited. The prophets are sometimes brave and sometimes fearful. Sometimes both. Sometimes both in consecutive chapters. Next week we'll look at Elijah. But this is it. A prophet is a human being sent by God with a word from God for the people of God. That's a prophet. The epistle lesson we had just a few moments ago, it was read moments ago, 2 Peter 1:21 says that the prophets have spoken not by human will. I love this phrase, but the prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. I love the phrase, though human. They're not angels from the side of God's throne. They're human beings who have spoken. In one sense, Every single author of this book is a prophet, broadly speaking, all prophets. But sometimes people use the word prophet in a more narrow sense, and they usually mean the prophets that wrote from the 9th to the 5th centuries BC. Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, you know their names. Malachi, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Daniel. Why then? One of my seminary professors used to say that God sent the prophets to balance the power of the monarchy. Think about that for a minute. Israel had a king. Is government good? That's a loaded question, and I'm hearing like, right? Is the general necessity of government a reality? Is it not so that some people in government get a big head? Is it not so that some of them have enjoyed power in recent years and they're having trouble letting go? That's the danger of it. Without government chaos, you need a government. But the danger is that people in government get puffed up. And so God said, you have a king, but I'm also going to send a prophet. And the prophet will preach. Does the world want to hear from a preacher now? Right? We need to hear the word of the Lord. The job of the preacher, the job of the prophet is to speak God's truth into his era, whether the government likes it or not. But I want to make a distinction. And this is something my Baptist pastor used to say back before Renee and I were Lutherans. He used to say there's a difference between foretelling and forthtelling. Have some of you heard that distinction? The difference between foretelling and forthtelling. Foretelling is what we look for. When I say prophets, most people say, well, I'm going to look for all the passages in the Bible that predict the future. That's foretelling. Do the prophets ever predict the future? Yes, they do, with accuracy that comes from above. But forthtelling means that sometimes the prophets aren't predicting the future. Forthtelling means that sometimes the prophets are just proclaiming. Sometimes the prophets are just preaching. Here's some foretelling. I love Isaiah 45:1. Isaiah names Cyrus by name as a deliverer for Israel 200 years before the man came onto the scene. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem, Micah 5, right? Micah 5. To a virgin, is that right? Isaiah 7. Worshipped by Gentiles bearing frankincense and gold? Isaiah 60. In case you're wondering, Isaiah lived 700 years before Jesus. Ministry preceded by someone like Elijah? Malachi 4. Psalm 22, what a rich psalm. Let's hear some verses. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22, all who see me mock me. He trusts in the Lord, let the Lord rescue him. Psalm 22, my mouth is dried up, my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. Same psalm, they pierce my hands and my feet. Same song, psalm, they divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. Do the prophets predict the future? Yes, they do. That's a God thing, right? What happens with forthtelling, though, is sometimes people think, well, wow, the Bible is full of Old Testament predicting the future, and they start looking through every page, there's going to be one of those things, and the sudden thing they discover is there's a lot of preaching in there. It's not all prediction. Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? That's not a prediction, that's a sermon. Zechariah 1:3, therefore tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Isn't it funny he repeats the phrase Lord Almighty three times? Who's speaking? God. God sends prophets with a message. Are there false prophets? Oh, yeah. That was our Old Testament lesson. God tells Old Testament Israel, ancient Israel, through his servant Moses. I'm going to send a prophet like you, a prophet like Moses. He's talking about Jesus, of course. People need to listen to him. Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 and 22. The people are going to say, how do we know if a prophet is from God? And God says it right there. What did he say? Listen to the prophet. If what he says comes true, he's a prophet. If not, the Lord has not spoken. Jesus says in Matthew 7, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. Jeremiah 8, verse 11, peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. The false prophets tell people what they want to hear. They have easy messages. They like it if you send in money, right? The prophets. We want to look at these guys the next few weeks. I want us to get this. This will be our closing thing. When all the prophets speak, this is my terminology, throw stones later, but there's when all the prophets speak, there's a little message and there's a big message. What is Pastor Walt talking about? The little message is the prophets often say something about the history of Israel. Sometimes they're national events. Jeremiah in chapter 25 literally said when Israel goes into captivity, he says, you'll be in captivity for 70 years. Did that come true? How long were they in Babylon? 70 years. That's the little message where God says, I'm going to intervene. I'm going to show you. I'm going to say something. This is the big message. All the prophets, all the centuries, all the things they said. The big message is this. God will send a Messiah. Sometimes they talk about Babylon, but eventually they talk about the Messiah, right? Sometimes they talk about repentance, but eventually they get to the Messiah. And sometimes they talk about Egypt, but they're going to eventually get to the Messiah. The first prediction of a Savior, Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3 is the fall into sin. And God speaks the words in Genesis 3:15. He'll send a Savior born of a virgin. And the rest of the Old Testament is a little hint there and a little hint there and another detail and another specific. All the while growing and becoming something, right? The words of the prophets, not just to whet our appetite for historical cool stuff, right? The word of the prophets, all that they said, all that they preached, the little message oftentimes to the people of the day, the big message to the world, God will send a Messiah. And God says where he'll be born, of whom he'll be born, and how he'll live, and who he'll heal, and what he'll preach, and how he'll die. There's so much about Jesus in the Old Testament that when Jesus came, you were supposed to have looked at him and said, aha. That's the Epiphany theme, right? Aha. Jesus said these words, John 5. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. He's affirming that, of course. And then he says this. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. What's the Bible about? Not Babylon, not Egypt, not the 70 years. What's the Bible about? Jesus the Christ, the Savior. For the next several weeks, we'll hear that message. Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Lord's blessings on our Lent. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.